Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More, and I'm your host, Lori Frazee. You know, I didn't do a show last week, and it was really, it's just been super busy for me lately. And, you know, coming home from the Apopka contest, if you missed out on the Apopka contest in Florida, you miss a tremendous contest every year between the huge number of volunteers that it takes, the number of teams and judges and everybody that comes out for the contest. It's amazing. If you want to see a little bit of a clip from it, they did a drone at the Apopka contest, and it's all over Facebook right now, and it's just kind of fun to watch and see what it does. I was at that Sunny's contest last week, and that was kind of part of the reason I didn't do a show also. The Sunny's contest was a private contest for their own franchises, not just their teams, because not all their franchises participate in the competition barbecue world. So it was kind of interesting to see, and I'd like to super congratulations to Awesome John Hobbitson, who is Awesome Q. I like to call him Awesome John. He's been on the show before. He did win the rib contest. He took grand champion. And the cool thing was he had two other fledgling teams, I'm going to call them, that are part of his franchise group, and they took reserve grand champion. So it was a big day for John, and, you know, definitely congratulations. He's become an important part of the FBA family. It's been fun to watch him really develop along the way. Also, I will put a post out for, I did do a short show from Apopka, and somebody asked me for the link earlier, so I will put that link on Barn Goddess Barbecue or BBQ and More on Facebook, and if you just want to listen, I interviewed a few people. You know, that's one of those deals where I walk around, I don't know who I'm going to run into. Sometimes I'm on a mission to get to somebody, and I may or may not run into them. I get there, and either they're busy or they're not there. So, you know, I'll stop and talk to people along the way. It's just kind of fun to see what everybody has done during their competition weekend. So I will put that out. Before we get any farther, I do want to thank my sponsors. Again, super excited to have two new sponsors for the show, and that's Hot Wachulas. I'd like to say congratulations to Matt and Swamp Boys Championship Barbecue, or my new sponsors. They had a big weekend last weekend. Sweet Smoke Q, another one of my sponsors. Jim has been on such a roll, so it's really exciting to see not only the guys out on the circuit, but to see my sponsors doing well in their own right. It's kind of fun to have guys that are doing so well be part of my team. I'd like to thank Fire Butler. If you haven't seen what the Fire Butler is all about, go over to Troy Nadel's or Fire Butler page on Facebook. We did several different videos, but, you know, the original one we did really does, even though it's like until you see it up close and personal, you may go, I don't know if I get all of it. It really does have everything in it, and Troy's, you know, he's like, I don't really want to change it. So check that out. If you've got a Weber or a kettle cooker, the Napoleon, well, it kind of turns like the acorn and all these into green eggs. So check them out. It's a great addition, accessory to your grilling, your arsenal. Rectech pellet cookers. You know, I've got both the big one and the little RT, I call it, the mini Rectech. And they do a great job. I love the little guy because I can sear up some stuff and it doesn't take up a lot of room. But, you know, one thing I saw last week when I was over at Sunny's is one of the guys, and it was kind of cool, I said, hey, you're cooking with a Rectech. And he goes, yeah, I bought it because of you. And I go, great, how do you like it? And he goes, it's not producing enough smoke. I will tell you that they recommend, and it is calibrated for cookandpellets.com, And, you know, they're another one of my sponsors. They have two different types of pellets. They have a hickory, and then they have a blend. It's called the Perfect Mix. And there's no fillers in them. They burn very slowly, and it is amazing the difference between that pellet in not only Erect Tech, because I've got a couple buddies, the Carter Q boys. They're using cookandpellets.com right now in their Yoder, and they're super happy with what they're doing. They really burn slower. You get a lot more out of them, so you might want to check out cookandpellets.com. Royal Oak Charcoal is another one of my sponsors. You know, I'm a big, huge, huge fan of lump charcoal. Didn't used to be, so it's kind of funny if you were listening 2 years ago. And it's not that I wasn't a fan. I was afraid to use it. And once I really started using my sweet smoke juice can, as I call it, you know, the drum, I really got kind of addicted to lump charcoal. Now I've got a new cooker coming from Hot Wachula. Super excited about getting. I've got the killer smoker coming, and I haven't really talked to Matt about which is the preferred, but I do have specific applications for both. So if you want a clean burning charcoal, I'm super happy with Royal Oak too. Chops Power Injector, you know. If you haven't taken a look at that, it's the four-prong injector, and let me just tell you, if you haven't used it, it could change your life with injecting meat, especially if you are doing lots of meat for catering or something like that. I mean, I can blow through a bunch of meat real quickly with that Chops Power Injector, and he actually has different size needles, so I will get you a code. I asked Dan recently about a code for a discount. I'll get you a code for next week's show. It's going to, you can call in. You'll get free freight, and we'll get you, I think he said, a set of needles. But the free freight makes a difference because, you know, sometimes we order stuff, and a lot of people order so much stuff online, and then the freight kills you. So, again, you might want to check out Chops Power Injector and then Mac Daddy Smokers. You guys know if I've got a stick burner, I've got that Mac Daddy Smoker that I've been super happy with. They are changing their direction. They're going into an insulated smoker, and can't tell you much about it because I haven't seen it, but I still use my stick burner. I did have that in a Popka, I noticed that Cedar Creek has his trailer for sale. So, you know, I'll throw Ben a little plug there. My trailer is also for sale because I have a new trailer coming. So if you're interested in a, you know, small toy hauler because it's 25 feet, mine's for sale. It's perfect for a one- or two-person team because, you know, the way I have it set up, you know, you're still moving things in and out. You may just be interested in something like that for camping, but I do have a full-size refrigerator in there, and you could sleep four people in there if you wanted to. So if you're interested, shoot me an email at laurie@barngoddessbbq.com or, you know, message me on Facebook. You could, like I said, Cedar Creek's is for sale. I guess he must have something new coming. And if you're not sure if you remember that trailer, that was Gitter Smoke's first trailer. So that was Terry McKay's trailer. So, you know, it's got some good mojo going around in there. Florida is in full bloom. We are just, you know, going to contest every week. So hopefully in the near future, I will see you at another contest. The month of March is super busy for me. I don't even think I'm repping something next month because of catering gigs. Hopefully, I will be talking loud and proud about my trailer next week from Southern Q, Scott Smith up at Southern Q. He is putting together my trailer. I will have a small sleeping quarter in a commercial kitchen and a deck. And, you know, it's time. I'm too old to push that crap in and out. And I think some of the guys who knew when I had the Assassin, you know, that Assassin, the big Assassin's about 800 pounds. It's just under. And, you know, I nearly knocked it over. And I can say it's one thing to drop the Rec-Tec or, you know, we saw, and I'm sorry, Steve Smith, you know, I saw Steve drop his ceramic cooker off his side deck at the World Foods. And, I mean, unfortunately, it cracked it. And so that really does suck. You hate to see that happen to anybody. And, you know, I dropped my Rectech. It literally went flying off my deck, and you bend that. But you drop that 800-pound assassin, and your life has changed, because if it goes over on you, you're probably going to end up with a broken something. And as many of you know that cook in Florida, I broke my leg, never broke anything, and then broke my leg and my ankle at the same time just after the fun cook. And, you know, there's several cooking teams where somebody's been seriously injured on the big cooker. So moral to the story is I'm finally ready for a deck on the trailer where mine can be mounted or clamped down permanently until I change cookers, but it will make my life a lot easier so this old lady can show up, cook, and then vend if I want to. So I'm very excited about the trailer. It'll be a 30-footer, and super happy with it. I got to tell you, Kenny from Uncle Kenny, Kenny Nadu, he's kind of the one that talked to me originally about it. And I'm going to probably do a whole thing about trailers again, because I had Michael Fay on one time, and we've got to chatting about trailers. And, you know, we always laugh at different people along the way who buy, you know, one rig after the other. I'm on my fourth rig. This will be my fifth rig, hopefully my final rig. But it's like as your time in it changes, perhaps your needs change. You may decide to downsize. And, you know, quite frankly, that's a thought. Get one cooker that you could do everything on. But not everybody's happy doing everything on one cooker. That was funny with Awesome Q's John and Sonny's. He, you know, he has a Jambo. And I'm like, well, whose Jambo is that? And it was his. So it was kind of funny to see him with that, because he doesn't use it at contests because he's got that big rig and a deck that he rolls his. He has a killer smoker. And I forget what the other one is he has. I think he's got another stainless steel smoker up there, but can't think of what it is. So, you know, everything changes, or you decide you want to try something different, your rigs change. And sometimes I think I ought to just go back to, you know, the little bitty trailer with the stumps that I rolled out onto the ground and could push in and out by myself. But let's face it, that not having air conditioning and heat, you all know what I'm talking about, because everybody's done it from time to time. Next week is it next week? The National Barbecue Association conference will be in Jacksonville. Super bummed I'm going to miss it. If you have the opportunity, even if you can only sign up for a couple of seminars, especially if you're in the South Georgia, Florida, if you can only sign up for a seminar or so, get signed up. Don't miss an opportunity to have some of the biggest names in barbecue right here. That's what's killing me. They're right here. SCA is going to have a steak cook-off at the same time, and you know, you don't want to miss an opportunity to be part of it. They're not doing the contest this year, which is too bad, but I think it has to do with location and the fact that it's downtown. And I've got my guest just showed up here in the queue, so I'll just get quiet. And Roy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we've got Roy Griffin with us. He is one of the new master judges from Florida, but more importantly, you're a new cook team.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so let's go back a little bit. Why don't you, because, you know, one of the things I like to do, Roy, is get different people on and gives the people from not only Florida but across the country a little opportunity to get to know you. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background and then how you got into barbecue to begin with?
I'm a Miami-Dade correction officer. From Miami. My dad is from Alabama and my mom is from North Carolina, so I learned cooking outside at an early age. I got a lot of family members in Gainesville and Palatka and Hawthorne City,
oh, yeah,
Florida. So growing up, I watched the elders in the family cook for the family reunions, whole hogs in the ground and in the barrels and stuff like that. So that I was fascinated with it then, and as I got older, I tried to emulate what I saw.
Well, that's pretty good. So, but you started out as a judge, and you know, I put on Facebook today in the Florida group that I wondered who else started as a judge and then turned to a team. And you know, the Hughes brothers' names came up, and but they were already kind of cooking, so I didn't give them full credit. And I think you even put Bill Tanner, but Bill and his wife had been cooking for a long time. Did he start as a judge? Do you know that?
No, he told me he had started cooking first, and then he judged, and now he, actually, about 5 years ago, me and a group of other officers were watching TV, watching Myron Mixon and the other superstars on TV of barbecue, and we all sat around and said, oh, we could do that. Well, I decided to research and learn what competition barbecue was about, where the rest of them, they just jumped right into competing. So,
they did.
Yeah, they don't compete with Florida. They still do unsanctioned backyard events. And I decided, after doing some research and Wikipedia and competition barbecue, Florida Barbecue Association came up. I clicked the link. I realized, found out what I needed to do to become a member, and I said I think that would be the best way for me to learn how to cook competition is to judge it, to see what it is, what are the standards, what are the requirements of competition barbecue.
Now, I remember your first contest, but where did you take your judging class at? Where did you do that?
Fort Pierce.
Oh, okay. So that's even funnier. Did you do it out at the livestock or at the Humane Society one in Fort Pierce? Do you know?
I think it was the livestock.
Okay. So you take the thing down there, and I remember you coming to the first one, and I think it was Live Oak, wasn't it? Or was it Lake City? Or Perry?
No.
It was up in that area.
I did Live Oak. I just jumped on whatever. I can't even remember what my first one. I just jumped on Full Throttle, whichever ones the I was accepted to.
Yeah, because I just remember the lead rep. I was judging, and the lead rep said, "We've got a couple new judges." You know, said to me and a couple of the other guys, hey, make them feel welcome. And I just remember chatting with you that first time. Really, to do 25 contests and get your master's judge actually officially at the Sunny's Invitational, which was pretty exciting. I'm sorry you didn't get your badge there. But who did you cook with to get your master judge?
Dana Hill's Big Papa's Country Kitchen. Yeah.
Okay, so you cooked with Dana. And then did you take any classes?
Yeah, I took his class, too.
Oh, okay.
I won his class. I won during the Fun Cook auction. One of his classes was up. Actually, I had auctioned out for all of them, but I got beat out, and his was the only one I didn't get beat out of. So I took his class.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about – I didn't even think that might have been where you got that. I remember – that Dana, Matt, Jim, and Rub all donated classes, and that was such a big silent auction prize, because for anybody, you know, it's always great to get a class in. So you went to Dana's class. How long ago was that?
I think it was September.
Okay.
Last September.
So you went to Dana's class, and did you already have the cookers that you were using at your contest? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, while judging, when I first started judging, I walked around to the different cook teams and find out what everybody was using, what's the difference between stick burners, pellet grills, offset smokers. I learned all that. Actually coming to the contest and talking to different cook teams and taking pictures, and then I would take pictures of cook teams' names, see how well they would do, and at the end results. And then I kind of fell in love with the pellet grill. And plus, that's what my money can afford at this time, the pellet grill.
Right.
And I already had offset smokers and I had stick burners, but I just noticed that the pellet grills were doing so much better competition-wise.
And which pellet cooker do you have?
I have the Traeger.
You do have a Traeger.
Yeah, I have three Traegers. I just bring two.
But I saw that you got a chicken cooker today. Is that a Meadow Creek?
No, that's actually Mac Daddy's chicken cooker, because I also try to cook for different events, large events, some family reunions and some parties. So I kind of needed something a little bit bigger.
Not a little bit bigger. You got the Mac Daddy chicken cooker. That's huge.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of funny because I didn't know that. And when I did see that you got the new cooker, and when I saw Dana's comment about you trying to keep up with him, that's why I asked if it was a Meadow Creek, because I thought maybe I was putting two and two together.
Well, Meadow Creek is next. I'm going to get a Meadow Creek.
For chicken or for the hog?
Well, in Miami, everybody cooks hog. They cook hog in Miami like, you know, for no reason. So that's kind of hard. I was actually thinking about getting a smaller chicken cooker just in case.
Like for contest or something?
Yeah. You know, if I needed a smaller, because that chicken cooker can hold two cases of chicken, whereas Meadow Creek's hold one case.
Depends on what my order. Didn't get the gigantic chicken cooker at Mac Daddy. It looks like
That's it. That's the gigantic.
Does that only hold two cases? Because I can't get over how big that thing is.
Well, that's what it says on paper. I haven't put it to use yet.
Did you just pick that up today?
No, actually, I picked it up a week ago.
Okay. Okay, I just happened to notice the picture today.
Yeah, I put the picture up today.
So as you're going through the judging and not just the whole experience of it, how did you decide what flavor profiles you were going to go with? Because you don't really know whose food you're tasting unless you're actually, you know, jumping in a site afterwards and saying, hey, Matt Barber, could I taste some of your chicken? You know, how did you
That's
decide...
True.
Yeah.
Well, my first contest, I tasted some barbecue that tasted straight like chocolate candy. And
really?
I was amazed at that barbecue could taste like chocolate candy. And I had somebody's barbecue. I don't know who. They tasted like candy corn, the candy corn you get like for Halloween.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at that. And I had talked to some judges and some reps, and they were saying that how a lot of the judges like sweet barbecue, and I'm not used to sweet barbecue, so I tried to create a flavor profile that would kind of simulate sweetness but still give you the meat, the texture of the barbecue. It was a very hard contrast for me, because I know old school barbecue where you put the charcoal in and you smoke it and the meat fall off the bone. So I had to learn a lot about competition barbecue and the taste profile and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Yeah, it's a whole nother animal. So your friends that said, well, we can do this. And I meant to ask you, what is the name of your team?
R&R Barbecue.
And Roy and what?
Roy and Rachel. That's my fiance, wife, girlfriend. She ain't going nowhere, so R&R.
Okay, and did she compete with you?
No, not she makes the sauce. So she's into the sauces and texture. She didn't actually compete. She came up to cheer me on for this last event, but she, when I get the right sleeping accommodations, then I guess we'll be together competing.
Oh, so you didn't take your toy hauler?
I don't have a toy hauler yet. No,
oh,
I slept in a U-Haul trailer. I mean, U-Haul van.
That's, you know what, though? You got to think about Matt Barber's good mojo and that truck he had, because that served him pretty well along the way.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
Yeah. So how did you end up finishing? And
well,
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, no problem. I competed in the backyard division. It was 9 cook teams, and I finished in 6th place.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't realize that they had a backyard division at that contest, but and so as a first time full contest for you to do,
mm-hmm.
what did you think, and what do you need to work on?
I enjoyed.
Well, maybe I should ask: was it a lot more work than you thought it was going to be?
No, because like I said, when I cooked with Dana Hills, I learned. That was Competition Barbecue 101, and we cooked at the Pompano, the contest in Pompano, Pompano Isles, I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
And because he wasn't vending, I actually went from step one to step A to step Z. We didn't skip any steps. He showed me from the rep inspecting the meat to seasoning to times and all that kind of stuff. And he's been doing it for so long, it's second nature for him.
Yeah, it is.
And he has his routine down pat. I have a routine down. I just think I need to work more on temperature and presentation. I overcooked my pork and I overcooked my brisket.
That's too bad to do both of them, because, well, and you know what you're expecting to do from being a judge, and it's just
right.
Getting that timing down.
Right. Like I explained to Gary Washam, he asked me after the event, and he's been a very good supporter of me cooking, and like I explained to him, the hard part about going from judging to cooking is you know what you want.
Yeah.
You know what it is the judges want to see. The hard part is making your eyes and your hands and your talent create that. I know what I want, but I just don't know how to get it right now.
Yeah, how to finesse it to that point, because that's probably a really good thing for you to bring up, because I'm sure that gives you a better appreciation when you do see those dynamic boxes come over a table.
Yes, yes. Like when I was at the Sunny's Invitational, even though I didn't judge, I was a table captain, I was in awe. Every time I opened up the box, I was in awe. And that should be a college course. Barbecue should actually be a college course to me, because I was amazed at the presentations. I got to taste everything without being judgmental, and I was in awe. That was the best barbecue I've tasted. Not just my table, but I've tasted other tables, and that stuff was good.
Yeah, and that's great, because those really polished gatherings don't happen all the time, even though you get really good people at World Foods and you get really good people at the American Royal, but it was a little bit smaller, and you had really, really, really good people in a smaller, you know, a condensed group. So,
right.
Yeah, there hasn't been anybody say that anything was, you know, bad, or even if it was, somebody said, our brisket was a little overcooked, but it was so good, you know, so it's really great to hear the comments that have come from the people who were lucky enough to judge that invitational.
Yeah, that I stated on Facebook that to me, that contest raised the bar far as taste profile, presentation profile, because I, like I said, I started Backyard based on the fact that I know I need some things to work on. I'm comfortable with cooking ribs and I'm comfortable with cooking chicken, but down here in Miami, we kind of cook things with a more citrus profile, so it's kind of
right.
hard for me to get out of that concept and get into a more of a smoked barbecue concept. And it, you know, I, like I said, I learn from every contest.
Yeah. Do you? Because the funny thing when you say that, like when I'm cooking for catering gigs, I make what I call Hawaiian chicken, and it's there's lots of citrus in it, there's apple in
right.
it, you know, there's pineapple in it, and you know, people absolutely love it. But of course, I would never get away with that in a barbecue contest. But do you? Are you somebody that cooks with the sour orange? Because that's kind of a Miami profile, and I
yeah,
love that,
yeah.
too. Okay.
Yeah.
And mojo?
I have to, because okay. the majority of my customers down here, this is what they're familiar with. So,
yeah.
And like you say, I also have a tropical blend that I do with chicken that I couldn't. I've been thinking, I say, let me go ahead and put it in the box and see if I get my head bashed in. But I say, nah,
don't do it.
Yeah. And I
know. And here's something, Roy, you know, especially since you're a judge, too. And, you know, I get the table captains occasionally when I'm doing the table captain meeting, and I love to talk with them, you know, especially after we go through the script and stuff. And you know, it's I don't know why it is, but it's very, very hard for a judge to get that. And I'm just going to say this because at Sonny's we had something like this. We knew at the private Sonny's contest last week that we could get chicken and it could be all over the board because this might be chicken that they would do in their restaurant. And one of them was a chicken breast, you know, like a 5-ounce chicken breast that you would buy in a restaurant if you ordered it. And
uh-huh.
it had like a, I'm going to call it almost like a Dijon mustard sauce. So everybody looked at it real funky. And because this was a different kind of contest, I could say, remember this is something that they might offer in the restaurant. Because my table just kind of went, what the hell is this? And it was really, really moist. I thought it was very good. It would have been a meal that I would have been happy to serve with, you know, something else. But a barbecue judge could not get over a mustard-based sauce, even if it could be the best mustard-based sauce in the entire
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I have a homemade mustard. Well, my wife, she makes a homemade mustard base, and I told her already. I said, listen, until maybe in the year 2020. When barbecue has changed twofold, I can introduce that, or we can introduce that in some sauce contest, but it's not going to work. But I think the barbecue judges, I think, I guess with the new barbecue judges coming in and even myself not knowing what the old standards are, if you... New ideas of barbecue could be introduced in. And never know. Maybe towards the end of this year, maybe mustard might win. Who knows?
Well, and it's not so much that mustard would win, but, you know, if somebody gives you a sauce that has, let's just say, a little more vinegar than normal, you might not like vinegar, but was that the best vinegar sauce or vinegar? You know, open your mind and say, well, I only like
exactly.
Sweet, or,
well,
yeah,
when
or
I
only
when
like
I judge,
spicy. Yes.
When I judged in Georgia, majority of the barbecue had a vinegary taste, and that's different profile than what we have here in Florida. A couple of Georgia contests, the Thomasville and the Barnesville contest. When I
but
sit down at
FDA,
a table, yeah,
right?
That was FDA.
When so I that's kind down, of interesting to hear.
Yeah, when I sit down at a table, I don't have a closed mind on what's going to be in that box. Actually, like I said, when I first tasted barbecue and it tasted like chocolate, now, would I have bought that off the street? No.
Yeah.
But it was good. You know, no, I don't want my barbecue to taste like, cotton candy or candy corn or a chocolate bar, but it was good. It was moist. It was tender. And it was good. So I can't go in there and say, I don't like chocolate, so I'm going to rate it low. I don't do that.
I'm open
to good food.
And I hope someday we get to that point where that could happen, but I think that in the state of Florida, I mean, it is still a very sweet-oriented flavor base. And, like a little bit of heat, as long as it's not lingering. It's been funny, and I think you probably have noticed, too, as a judge, that heavier spice on chicken has kind of surfaced. And I watch some of the judges, drinking half a bottle of water and fanning themselves. It's kind of hilarious when you see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always thought I had a high tolerance for spice, heat, until I started judging barbecue. That kind of changed.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because, again, down here, we do a lot of jerk chicken, a lot of curry, so we heavy-handed. But I've tasted some barbecue that make you sweat after one bite. So.
See, I would like that. and I have to watch that because I do like the spice. I love Rub Bagby's comment, you have to make the best average chicken that, flavor profiled chicken that you can make so that it appeals to the masses. And these guys that win People's Choice, it's not always the people who win in that category. They figured out what more people like, So it's a little bit of a mind game. When are you scheduled to cook again?
I'm debating. I know what I want to do, but what I want to do and what time permits. I know I want to cook at the Pompano.
Okay.
And I'll probably compete with the pros. And, like I said, like I've told Jim Elser and Matt and Ben Purvis, I know what not to do. I know what to do to keep from getting DQ'd. Now, I won't get DQ'd. I might come in dead last, but I won't get DQ'd.
Well, I put a little post on there, congratulations for finishing your first contest and not getting disqualified because in Live Oak this year we had two young guys that were vending for the first time, and they were competing, and they wanted to really try and compete, and they got disqualified on chicken. He kind of knew that it was going to be a little underdone, and you hate to go out there, but those guys competed in Winter Haven this year, and because they remembered me, I happened to rep in Live Oak, and then I saw them again in Winter Haven, and they were not going to cook brisket because they just felt like they blew it with brisket, and they ended up cooking brisket and did not, they didn't come in last. They were really happy how it came together. And, it's kind of like putting yourself out there and taking that chance. So I say dig you for trying it because you could end up DAL. Everybody has that opportunity for that to happen. And DQs happen, so.
Yeah, well, I was concentrating more on trying to have a tasty product with chicken and the ribs, and I the cooking aspect of it actually is the easiest part to me because I'm so used to that. I've been cooking since I was 18. So the hard part for me is putting together a presentation. Because that's something I'm learning.
The good thing is you know how heavy boxes look, and you can tell the difference when you got a lightweight box. And and the internet's a beautiful thing. There's a billion boxes out there for you to study and just go, I could do that. I can figure that out.
Well, I did that the whole time up until the time where my alarm went off at 10:50 and said, okay, it's time for you to create this chicken box. And I was like, okay, now the sweat started. It's you know, I'm an athlete, well, I used to be an athlete, and, you know, you get the butterflies in your stomach right when you're going to run out there on the field or when the coach is giving that motivational speech. So when the alarm hit for it's time for me to create this box so I could submit it, that's when the butterflies came in. So everything that I had studied, pretty much I had forgot because now the pressure's on.
Did you cook thighs or did you cook thighs and something else? What did you end up cooking?
I actually did thighs and wings. Because I kind of liked the way those boxes looked, and I had in my mind when I went to the store and bought the chickens what I wanted my box to look like. And after cooking and after setting it up, and I said, nah, I'm not going to go with that. And I went through, I guess I became like a model. I went through three different boxes before the one I submitted was the one that went in. And the presentation, the judges liked the presentation. I guess some things I guess I need to work on, tweak here and there. So, like, you know, and I don't get mad and say, oh, well, the judges should have scored X, Y, and Z because,
right.
Again, I've been at that table. And I said, I know what I wanted to look like, but, you know, when they receive, it's something totally different. So.
Well, and since you knew that you were going to start cooking, have you started talking more with your table after your judging cards have been turned in?
You know me. I think I'm friendly, regardless of popular opinion. I think I'm friendly. So I kind of talk to my table, and I talk to a lot of other tables to see, you know, what's the status of the barbecue of the day.
They're doing more of that. It seems like more tables are taking the time to discuss their entries after their comment cards are in, and I think it really, you know, I think it does. I think it really helps those new judges.
I think so. It does, because when I first started 2 years ago, my first judging contest, it was quiet. We turned in, we sampled the meat, we turned in our scores, and then everybody got up and it was quiet. And certain people who already had seen me came up to me and spoke, but we didn't discuss scores. We didn't start discussing scores maybe until after the fun cook of last year. And I enjoy it. I also try to take some of the judges, and I know I'm still a fairly new judge. I just did a lot of judging, but I try to talk to the new judges and explain to them the experience, and, you know, don't get discouraged. And my number one problem when I started judging was because I had cooked unofficially, I was basing competition barbecue to mine, and that's wrong.
Oh.
That's wrong.
Okay.
And I tell everybody that was the worst thing I could do.
Yeah, it was. You would have been one of those judges that the teams would all be cussing about. No.
I admit it. And you know, when I had to reevaluate myself, I had, and I don't know if you've seen me post, but I always say the number one problem with barbecue is not flavor and profile, and it's not even the cookers. It's ego and pride.
Yeah.
Ego and pride destroys barbecue.
Well, and, you know, there isn't any cook team out there that doesn't get, you know, I hate to say it like this, but doesn't get pissed off when they don't get what they felt they should get, because why? We're all competitive. And, yeah, there is ego and pride involved with it. And so, you know, some get more babyish than others, but, you know, you've had two really, really long days, and it's disappointing to people who care about what they're doing. So, I mean,
right.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, I kind of selected you out to talk about this because very seldom does somebody come in as a judge and then actually decide to do a cook team. You know, like I said, the Hughes brothers, yeah, but they were already cooking with some other teams, and everybody kind of knew their intent. Yeah.
Right. Well,
so,
like I said, I when I started judging, I enjoy the smell of barbecue. I enjoy the food. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy people licking their fingers. I enjoy the whole atmosphere. Well, not while judging, just. But I enjoy the whole atmosphere of barbecue. And being a correction officer for 25 years, being in a paramilitary environment, being in a violent environment, to come on the weekends and see smiles and hugs and people from different walks of life, all for one common goal, just to enjoy barbecue, I love it. So, and my plan to retire is to travel and cook barbecue. Hopefully, I win along the way, but if I don't, I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna enjoy it as long as God allows me.
And for anybody who's not been in the judges' room, which would be any cook team that is listening either now or in the archives, you have become one of the favorites as the, and I like to call you the grazing table wrangler, because your large stature and presence, those guys that hover and vulturize over the grazing table don't seem to do that when you're...
As a matter of fact, my first when I became a judge in Fort Pierce, when I became a judge at Fort Pierce, they had more judges than they needed. So they asked me, would I mind being in charge of the grazing table? I was like, okay, sure. What is it you want me to do, and what is it you don't want them to do? So they told me the rules. I said, okay, not a problem. Enforcing rules is what I do. So they gave me the little pig with the timer, and I haven't seen that pig since. But they gave me the little pig with the timer, and they told me to do my thing, and ever since then, I've done it. I don't have a problem with doing it either. I actually like it.
Well, and, it, you know, the thing about being able to do something like that, or when you're helping out in the room, you do get a chance to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes it kind of fun, too, because I've been between cooking and judging, I've been doing it a while, and there's still judges that I have never met. And, you know, if I'm at a table or if we're seating a table, it'll be like, wow, this person's been around for 3 years, I've never seen them, because we just don't happen to cross paths along the way. There really
right.
is a large number base, isn't there?
Yes, it's a lot of judges, and because I don't, because I do associate with a lot of different people, I forget a lot of names, but I just smile and wave, and I know I'm from barbecue, so.
Well, that's great. What's your upcoming judging then, if you're thinking about not cooking maybe till Pompano or what have you?
Well, my next judging event will be Eagle Lake.
Oh, I've never been to that contest. I know that's supposed to be a good one. You know, last year you really helped out a lot with the Fun Cook. I'm guessing you got to meet and chat with a lot of people on a different level because you were helping with those World Food Qualifiers and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, and I actually learned a lot from you during then, because I was listening to the rules and regulations of the different world food categories. So I learned a lot.
Yeah. Are you going to be going to the Fun Cook this year? You know, it's going to be in Perry.
Yeah, I plan on it.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be interesting to be at a different place. And Perry's always a great location. Have you judged up there before?
No, I missed it last year, and I'm looking forward to going up there.
Yeah, that's a long haul for you because you live far south in Miami.
Yeah, I live in Miami. Could you hold one moment?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay. See, guys, this is what happens when it's live, because I could hear that beeping. I'm guessing you can, too. And, hey, he's got to take the call. You got to take the call. You know, life goes on. So that's pretty funny. While we wait for Roy to – are you back?
I'm back. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just was saying, you know, life happens, and, you know, you get a call coming in, and if it's one you got to take, you know.
Yeah, I'm at work, yeah, and supervisor's calling me.
You're at work?
Yeah, still at work.
Okay, well, hopefully there's no problems going on there.
No.
Well, and let me just ask you, I mean, you know, you kind of made the comment about licking their fingers because that's been a Facebook comment. What do you think about the commenting and stuff that goes on? I mean, I'm not looking to get controversial here or anything. What do you think about the Facebook comments that happen and, you know, the browbeating and everything else?
I'm a strong supporter of free speech, and a lot of times people are not going to agree with the subject, and a lot of times people are going to agree with the subject. And I believe if everybody can voice their opinion with respect, it should be no problem. We can agree to disagree, and we can agree to agree. So,
you know,
and that's, look at it.
That's what makes America great. I love the... And you know, this is the movie, The American President, Michael Douglas is in there, and he said, you know, debate, and, you know, even though, I don't want to see, you're getting that call again.
Yeah, another call.
You got to take it.
No, I'll call that one when the show is over.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, we may not like to see people burning the American flag. However, that's what makes America great. They are allowed to do it, and they can defend their right to do it. And
right.
The only thing I don't like to see is when we get into those snibbling personal attacks, and that's
exactly.
I'm with you. If somebody's got a good, respectful opinion, as long as we keep it that way, I don't mind seeing it. And I think that Steve Brum, even though I don't get into the controversies most of the time because I don't want somebody to do the whole attack thing. A lot of people will private message me. But Steve Brum's done a really good job about addressing those things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever called in and listened to our monthly meeting or anything or email blast.
I listen. I listen to all the meetings. I try to. Especially after Connie got on me, she was like, you know, you need to be in the meetings. And I was like, yeah, but I don't want to be a politician. I'm in barbecue for the fun. I don't want to become a board member or a politician. Because then it'll be like work. And long as it's fun, you know, I listen to it. You know, I listen to it for both aspects, judging and cook teams, because I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know nothing. when I went to Dana Hill's class, I quickly learned that I did not know as much as I thought I knew. When I cooked with him, I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. When I judge, you know, every event is a learning experience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Any hope to do GBA or KCBS either as a judge or a cook with any of the other sanctioning bodies?
Well, I am a KCBS judge. In actuality,
oh, you are?
in actuality, I judged. I made my master's with FBA because that was the more available. But I've judged in 2 years 55 contests. That's FBA, KCBS, backyard, unsanctioned. I was just judging barbecue.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good because to do that many contests and get your master judge as quick as you did, that's pretty good. You've definitely spent some time doing, and you've put some miles on a vehicle to do that.
Yeah, my truck. Yeah, my truck got 100,000 miles. When I first started judging, I think I probably had a little bit over 60.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take long. Anything you want to leave us with tonight that you might have left out about yourself that you want us to know?
Well, I'm slowly, surely going to go pro. I'm contemplating cooking a couple of KCBS contests. I'm definitely trying to cook the Jacksonville Backyard Championships, which is
You are?
Yeah, it's a unsanctioned backyard event. However, I have to compete with the pros because I am not from Jacksonville. So I learned that at this contest in Lake Okeechobee that I need practice. And in order to be with the big dogs of the competition world, I need the practice. The Matt Barbers, the Swamp Boys and Sweet Smoke Cues. I got to practice. You just can't go in there and do it no one time and think, oh, you can be able to compete with them guys. Those, you know.
The more you cook, the better you are, and the more consistent you are. When you get out of it, you know, cook once in a while. You don't do nearly what you were doing when you're cooking all the time. So it does make it tough to do that. Listen, I really appreciate your time because it's really great to get a different angle in barbecue. You know, we love to talk to all the guys who are winning all the time, but I like to talk to the new teams too because there's other new teams that do a lot of listening and they get ideas from everybody that's starting. If you had to give somebody, you know, your first impression of what they should do as a first-time team, what might you tell somebody to do first?
Judge, learn, take a class. I think I did it the right way. I learned what is expected from a judge's aspect. I learned when I took a class how to get what is expected, and I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Take somebody's class. Learn from someone who's doing it on a constant basis.
Yeah, get under that learning curve and save yourself some time, that's for sure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Roy, thanks for being with me. I appreciate your time, and I'll see you soon out there one of these days.
Thank you, ma'am, and I appreciate you having me on, and I'm delighted that I was the focal.
I appreciate it, Roy. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you be safe.
Okay, you too. That's Roy Griffin with R&R Barbecue, and he's also one of our newest master judges. You know, there is so much to take from everybody's angle, and we have people that do all the different facets in any sanctioning body, or we have people that just only are looking at it from a cook's team. And, you know, I love that we have the judges committee that is – actually, they're being very active. They're being very proactive. Right now we've got – I'm getting text right now. Let's just see because I just got a little thing from Tim over there in Lake City who said he liked the American President movie too. And he sends me a text that is this is kind of funny. Michael Douglas and Annette Bening together. So thank you for that, Tim. And I don't know if Lonnie's listening, but Lonnie Brick down in the LaBelle or Fort Myers area, getting ready to do a pig. It's kind of funny. But he has done some really good non-sanctioned events in the Fort Myers LaBelle area for charity. So I will be getting back to him. Let me see what else we got here. Somebody else is sending me information. Okay, so it wasn't anything. I wanted to make sure there was nobody saying anything that we wanted to make sure to talk about tonight, because every once in a while I'll get a message and I will have missed it. So I try to keep Facebook open just in case somebody's like wanting to send a message to make sure that everybody hears. If there is anybody that wanted to bring up something tonight and you're on the queue or you're listening by phone, if you'll press 1 if you want to talk about something, please feel free to do that at this time because I wasn't expecting anybody, but I certainly don't mind anybody jumping in on something. And while I wait to look at that, what I started to say was I appreciate that we are getting a more active judges committee. The team committee headed up by Ben Purvis, which we mentioned earlier, and Roy mentioned him too, the Cedar Creek guy with his trailer for sale. They're coming up with some things that give us more ideas to talk about. You know, I don't think anybody wants it to be one way because it's good for them. I think as a whole, everybody involved, whether it be FBA, GBA, or KCBS, or IBCA, whatever, they want it to be the best and the most fair it can be. So, you know, we had a big controversy after the Apopka contest, even though it was amazing that we were able to provide Chuck Connor-Sally with a successful contest that was done in a timely manner since we had had some issues before. But we had, you know, we had a little bit of controversy and, you know, members have a lot of opinions and they're supposed to. Let's see. Jared Carter, one of my boys who cooked chili with me, and he must be listening. He sent me a happiness of the donkey. If you'll, if you see us have the picture of the donkey on my Facebook page, that's our little good luck charm, and he just sent me a little smiley with the donkey, which is good luck. And, you know, I can only thank those boys for cooking with me in, where did we cook that? Oh, in Apopka. That's pretty much it for me tonight. I will, and look at that, Chris Chadwick is posting to go and take a. This is kind of funny. I feel like I'm live to keep you guys up to date with all these posts that are coming through. But Chris Chadwick, who's a buddy of mine, we both were on Barbecue Superstars at the same time, and he's on another network now. He unfortunately does a show the same night as I do. I do want to thank Roy for making time for me tonight because I was stuck in a broker's class for 2 days and was not really able, by the time I got home every night, I was working on house deals that you guys know I'm tired of because I can't wait to just cook all the time. So Chris's show is on yet tonight, so if you want to talk more barbecue or listen to more barbecue ramblings, Chris is one of the guys you can tune into and listen to. That reminds me, I have an entire network. If you are somebody that wants to entertain a show of your own, whether it's for barbecue or curing meats or talking about stuffing sausage or accessories, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's anything to relate with food, barbecue, and more is kind of, you know, the name of my show because I don't only have barbecue people on. I'll have, you know, I've had foodies, I've had authors, I've had lots of people in the several years I've done this. But if you have something that you want to do a show about, please feel free to contact me as long as it's not on a night that I'm doing a show or one of the other people who have done shows for me have booked a show. You're welcome to do that. If you are a committee, and I, you know, whether, shoot, I would do this for KCBS even. You know, right now and Monday will be our monthly board of directors meeting that the membership is welcome to listen into. I will post a link Monday morning that you're welcome to either listen by link or call in. and listen by phone. We do open it up for people to make comments. It does get a little confusing sometime when I'm running that. But if you have something that is barbecue related and you need an outlet for a, we'll call it a conference call, if I can help you, I will. So, you know, I just recently sent something to one of the other committees. Look, if they need to, they were talking about doing a conference call. I know what it was for, the Fun Cook. I said, if you guys need a platform to get together, I'm happy to set it up if the night's available or the day's available. So don't hesitate to contact me with that. If you've got something you want to promote, let me know. And, you know, I appreciate the listeners that I have, appreciate my sponsors, you know, really do rely on them, let's put it that way. And that's it for me. I will be back with you next week. If I'm not on the road picking up my trailer, I kind of hope I'm on the road picking up the trailer, but what will happen then is I may work it out where I can, maybe I can call to somebody because I've done plenty of shows from the road. So you guys be safe this weekend. You know, there's always something to gather around and cook in front of a smoker and enjoy yourself. So have a great weekend, guys. Stay safe.